You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
What's up? Welcome inside Studio 34, Fantasy Sports Today, Overtime Edition. Getting ready. It's that time, y'all. The crack of the bat, smell of the grass, pitchers and catchers getting ready to report. We have a job to do. Got to get y'all ready for the upcoming 2018 fantasy baseball season. This is the Fantasy Sports Network, where we focus and concentrate on fantasy sport, try to entertain you and stuff like that. So this is who we got. This is the team for the baseball season on FST Overtime. You got one of the Fantasy Pros accuracy experts, reigning League of Alternative Baseball Reality champion, reigning League of Alternative Baseball Reality champion, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Jake Seeley, good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We actually have breaking football news that Josh McDaniels is official.
Josh McDaniels is now officially the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, so that's pretty cool right there. More than likely means that Bill Belichick will remain. Bill Belichick will be retained by the New England Patriots after his Super Bowl loss. Also, Wall Street, Matt Medica on the program. He is an accomplished, high-stakes fantasy baseball player with very good results, successful. Matt Medica, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'd like to also add, I'll put my fantasy football season down this past season against anyone on any station.
There you go right there. One of the best of all time right there. And I'm Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. I'm the Jackie Robinson of Tout Wars. And I need a lot of help, to be honest with you. Tout Wars coming up. The draft that I'm in, Tout Wars online mixed league draft, is March 6th. So we're going to spend the next month getting me ready. It's not about y'all, it's about me. Because I have to take this whole thing down. That's what the fantasy executive does. He wins chips. So a baseball championship will at least a good start. If I can start good, and then I get you to
the end. No. We're going full Reese Bobby thing? Here. Right. You're not first, you're last this year.
All right, there you go right there. There you go. Not first, you're last. So these are the particulars. This is the crew. So today on the program, we're going to talk about some 2018 fantasy baseball sleepers. We'll do some buy or sell with pitchers and hitters. And a little bit later on in the program, we do our Black History Month profile. Today's subject is Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors. I understand people saying Draymond Green, but Draymond Green has done some great things in his community, and we will highlight that later on in the week. We will look at Daryl Dawkins, and we'll close the week with Malcolm Butler. So those are our profiles in Black history for this week.
I purposely did no research on Draymond Green. I want to drink it all in.
Yes. So we'll get you up to date on that right here on FST. It's the Overtime Edition with the exec, the all-in kid, Wall Street, Matt Medina. Shout out to everybody down there on the fourth floor doing great work in the Fantasy Pit of Misery. That's called the Fantasy Pit of Misery by my guy, Dane Martinez, Spitting Speeds. Make sure you tune in on Friday and I believe Thursday nights for Fantasy Freestyle. Shout out to Dane Martinez, one of the best in the business. That program up for the FSWA Award for Best Radio Show, and it better win. And then after that,
find out tonight.
Oh, that's tonight's tonight, huh? All right, cool.
Yep. So shout out to Wednesday Speeds. And Friday.
Wednesday and Friday. So shout out to Spitting Speeds also. So. There we go. Now the music is playing. That means it's time to go to break. I'm going to go to the boys' room. So if I don't get back in time, Matt Medica will start. But I should have run. So when I come back, I'm going to be breathing heavy because the fantasy executive is not in the best shape. It's FST Overtime right here on FST FNTSY Radio.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
I'm back. Back up and at 'em. Fantasy Sports Network. Every morning, programming begins on this channel with two soldiers of the industry. My guy, the King Scott Angle, Tony Cincotta, the Hall of Famer, and the Fantasy Shamer. Shout out to the Hall of Famer and the Fantasy Shamer. Every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, they start your day right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Camp is a description that we can go watch for YouTube, people on the fourth floor. A little behind the stage, a little behind the scenes action, pull you behind the paywall. Speaking of going behind the paywall, DailyRoto.com is where you go to get your DFS information from. Hell, it's where you go to get everything from now. You know what I'm saying? They get the job absolutely done over there. Shout out to Leone, Dake Meyer, Colin Drew, that whole team. DailyRoto.com, whether your game is DFS, golf, pretty soon to be a little bit of baseball. Whatever you want to get involved in, they got you covered over there. DailyRoto.com, promo code FNTSY, get you 10% off, and you can put that 10% towards league entry fee. Yeah, let's get ready to get started. I want to talk about some sleepers with these two gentlemen and see what they think about some dudes that have been dubbed sleepers. So this is what I did, because I'm, like I said, I'm not in baseball mode. I'm just starting training camp today. So I just Googled fantasy baseball sleepers, and I picked out the names that came up the most. And Matt Modica, the name, I'll start with you. The first one that comes up is Houston Astro catcher Evan Gattis. And is he going to get enough at-bats to make a difference this year?
It's kind of that question every season, and he kind of does get the at-bats. So, I mean, is he a sleeper? He is what he is, I think, personally. So he's on the best team in baseball. He, like I said, he finds a way to get the at-bats. The power is there. So I think you know what you're getting.
Yeah. Jake, it was a little bit of an issue with the, like, what I read, it was a little bit of an issue with the power last year. And they was like, well, the power could rebound this year and more at-bats could lead to a better season. Is he a sleeper or is he a guy that you know what you get from Evan Gattis?
Hard pass for me. He's only played over 128 games once. And it was the fact that he's got the playing time issue. He's got the health issue. You talk about the power last year. The power is why you said, hey, I'll take Gattis, because even if he only gets 130 games, at least I'm getting 25-30 from a catcher-eligible position. He has to bounce back just to get to mid-20s. And so I can see that. But at the same time, if you're in a weekly roster and you're putting him into your catcher position, you might only get 2 or 3 games per week out of him, depending on where they are, especially if they're going to the National League. Then you're not even getting any at bats possibly at all while they're on the road and don't have the DH. So I don't draft Gattis for this reason. And I would love to. I would love to have that, you know, security at the catcher position, but I don't want the frustration.
Frustrating.
Yeah, I find it odd where he's been going in the NFBC. He goes ahead of, say, Wilson Ramos right now.
The Bull.
The Buffalo. But
the Buffalo, the same thing. Buffalo,
yeah.
Bull.
I would definitely rather have Wilson Ramos. And even Mike Zunino, believe it or not. I'll take Mike Zunino.
Is Mike Zunino from Bensonhurst?
He's not from Bensonhurst. He sounds like a guy from Bensonhurst.
Yeah, he does sound like a guy from Bensonhurst.
Maybe he was the battery to Chris Ventura.
That was when Ventura was a JV closer. He was throwing to Mike Zunino.
Yeah, I think Mike Zunino's an interesting cat this year. I know we have the batting average woes and stuff. The power is real. I think he can maybe improve a little on that batting average. He's never going to be somebody that's going to.
Zunino or Gattis?
Oh, no, Zunino.
Okay.
I would rather have Zunino. I'd rather have Wilson Ramos.
Yeah.
Even Beef Wellington.
Okay.
You know.
That's Wellington Castillo, right?
That is correct.
Not from Bensonhurst. All right. Paul DeJong, right, is the next guy that came up. His name was sitting a lot when I Googled fantasy baseball sleepers all in kid. And it says, is his bat real? Paul DeJong is a shortstop, Jake, for a National League team that wears red. I'm not sure.
Cardinals.
The Cardinals. Yeah, there you go. I just pictured his uniform. I didn't know if it was the Cardinals or the Reds. What do you think about him, Jake? Is he a guy that's on your list?
He's not a sleeper by any stretch of the imagination. Like, no. You're the one that was searched and pulled it up. It's not your fault. I'm saying that the people who put him out there, he's not a sleeper. I mean, the guy hit 25 home runs in, 110 games or something around that last year. So the people, you're always going to get the people who are going to fall into this 1 year and then project out for across a whole 150 games. So you have people like, oh my God, this guy's going to hit 35 home runs. And what are you going to do? Like, you can't match that at the middle of the infield spot and what he's going to do on the left. So I don't think he's that kind of player. I think he is a 25 to 30 home run hitter over 150 games, which is still exceptionally valuable, but he's also like a 260, 270, 280 hitter, somewhere in that range. And it's going to be his second season. We've seen a lot of players come out in their first year and then see a significant drop-off. We've seen some that haven't had a drop-off at all, so I'm not saying that's definitively going to happen in a sophomore campaign. But I think he's being overdrafted right now because people just project too much instead of just understanding what the player is. And truthfully, he's a mid-20s home run player.
That's all, Matt, is a mid-20 home run guy.
Yeah, no, I'm going to agree with Jake here. I think people like, I just want to use the word, extrapolate.
Over, I like that word. That's a good word.
They want to do that. They see the at-bats. Well, what if he plays in, 155 games, gets X amount of at-bats? Look, the batted ball profile this year was good. He's hitting a lot of fly balls. He's got a nice hard hit percentage in that. I own zero shares right now. I'm not saying that's a good thing not to own any. I agree with Jake. He's probably going to be more in that 25 homer, 265 to 275 range.
What about his plate discipline?
Plate discipline, I don't think he's going to strike out. I mean, that's something he's done. I mean, that's one thing you have to be worried. He doesn't walk a lot. I think the walk percentage was under 5%, and the K percentage was close to 30.
So yeah, that's, he loses a bit in on-base percentage league.
Yeah, so that's why I kind of have shaded. You saw Asmani Diaz, the guy who had the job before him, and a lot of people had him as a top 10 shortstop last year. He got demoted to the minors, and he's now in Toronto.
All right, up next, Jake, Mitch Haniger. And the notes say, where will he bat in the lineup, and does that make a difference?
No, I was actually a Haniger fan last year. I was disappointed in the fact that he got hurt. Well, I mean, it got hurt. I thought that he was going to have a terrific season. And for what he did last year and the time that he played, you saw why people were excited about him. And I think that he's got a job locked in. I don't think he's – like, I understand, like, where is he going to bat. I don't think it's going to be somewhere like 7th or 8th, and you're going to have to be that concerned about anything. I can see top 5 makes a lot of sense for this team. And if so, now you're talking about another guy. He's just mid-20 home runs, good average, good production across the board. Maybe chips in 5-7 steals, somewhere around there. But I liked Haniger last year. I'm going to be back on board. I think a lot of people are going to forget how excited people were for him last year.
Jake's going back to Haniger, man.
Yeah, I'm in on Haniger this year. He's an outfielder. You get later on. He can give you, he's got some pop in the bat. He's got a little speed. He'll chip it, like Jake said, slipping some stolen bases. I do think the batting order does matter, but his price kind of doesn't.
From so where his you're price, getting him, where you're getting him, where he bats doesn't matter. Yeah,
but you do want to see him more at the top of the lineup. But now that they have Gordon and Segura, I think he's going to be more of it. But when he was healthy last year, he was damn good.
All right, next up for the next guy.
Yep.
Out Jeff for this guy. Got to bring out Jeff the Skeleton. You remember Jeff the Skeleton from the football season? Jeff the Skeleton, in the football season, he was a black quarterback. Now in baseball, he's a pitcher from Santo Domingo. Jeffrey. All right, Matt Modica, what the hell is wrong with Carlos Rodon?
Look, this is a guy, look, he's not going to start the season. And we talk about injury optimism.
Yeah.
He's a guy that, in a draft champions format, a draft and hold, yeah, if you want to take him, I don't have a problem with that right now. I think he's got talent. I'm just in a redraft league, first 23 rounds, he's not on my board.
Oh, he's not on your board. What do you think about Carlos, the off-injured Carlos Rodon, Jake?
Nope. Not on the board. Please, somebody else take him. I've never been a Rodon fan. The fact is, there's two problems that he has. Walks too many people. And then he gives up too many home runs. And this hasn't been corrected. The strikeouts are appealing. His ups down. He went through a nice little stretch there, which got people excited. And I understand the potential, but it's just not something you go back to, as Matt said. If you want to extrapolate that little part of when he was doing really well and put that over a full season, like, oh my God, that's his ceiling. Firstly, like you said, the injury optimism, I don't buy into. I'm not buying into the fact that, that's going to be his career. If you watch him over what he's done, he walks too many people and he gives up too many home runs. And that kind of combination is going to kill pitchers, no matter what your upside is.
What's his injury? What's he currently dealing with?
Latest is shoulder, I believe.
Oh, shoulder. You that's this area right
it's
here,
been
people.
Been problems with the, it's not like he's had, like, say, a hamstring.
On the throwing shoulder? Is it throwing shoulder?
It's been stuff with his arm. Yeah. It's been repeatedly stuff with his arm.
So this, when you pitch a baseball, if the shoulder that you use to throw
he's lefty.
All right, excuse me. Let's get this camera shot over here so I can break it down what's going on with homeboy, Rodon. If you throw the ball with this hand, all that torque and force on this shoulder right here, constant injuries to this extremity, as Dr. A would call it.
Excellent use of the word torque, by the way.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you, Matt Modica. constant pressure on this extremity, boys and girls, will create a situation where Carlos Rodon will not have no fantasy value. You heard what the experts say. Leave him off your draft boards. You're always going to hear about Rodon's potential because of his K-9 and stuff like that. But you're not going to get too much uses because of this extremity right here with too much pressure being applied to it. So this is Jeffrey the Skeletone. Jeffrey the Skeletone brought to you by Inside Injuries. I can lose the accent now. We cut. Oh, shucks. He's still good. I still got Jeffrey. The stick fell out of his skeleton butt. But we come back. MLB, buy or sell. It's Roto Camp right here on FSTSY Overtime.
Hi, this is Lar Michaels of CreatorSports.com and host of the Tout Wars Hour on the Fantasy Sports Network. Join Justin Mason and me at our new time, Sundays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, as we break down the fantasy games you love with the biggest names in the industry. Plus, starting with the 2018 baseball season, we'll review the Tout Wars Fab Bits live on the show, hours before your league's waiver deadline. So join Justin, Lord Zola, and special guests every Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern for the most in your fantasy sports world.
Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, Tout Wars participant. This is my second year doing that. Draft is a month away, a month from today. I have to get ready for this. All in kid Jake Seeley, League of Alternative Baseball Reality Champions, reigning champion, rather, Wall Street Matt Medica, who has won every NFBC league there is ever.
That happened, but I wish that were true. I really do.
There you go, right there.
But today's like training day, right?
Yeah, today's training day. He's already eight leagues deep, eight drafts deep already, so we got the best stuff going on right here. Hopefully we can break out Jeff again, because that normally works pretty good. Next, we go some fantasy baseball buy or sell as part of my roto training. I need to know about Minnesota Twins outfielder Eddie Rosario. Jake, Eddie Rosario, can he take a step forward in 2018?
Nope, but he doesn't need to. And I actually just took him in our mock draft. I'm surprised he fell as far as he is, because he just paced over the numbers from last year, and that's who he is. He doesn't need to take a step forward. You're going to get a good average. You're going to get mid-20 home runs. You're going to get about, I'd say, 170 combined runs and RBIs, maybe 180, and then, you know, five steals, whatever. That doesn't matter a lot. But really, if you look at what he does, I mean, that's four solid production categories, and where he's going in drafts, he's being severely underdrafted.
Underdrafted for Eddie Rosario. What's his NFBC ADP, Matt? If you have that available, I want to know if you think he's being undervalued right now.
It might be higher in the and something like the experts at that level. But to give an example, in the mock draft that we just did, I took him in the middle of the 12th round at 173. That's way too low.
Yeah, he's going the last 12 drafts. I kind of like break it down from, say, January 25th. Give you a narrow range, see where people are going. He's 120, ADP is 128.
Okay,
that's where it should be.
That's more like it.
And like what Jake's saying, yep. I'll say I agree with Jake, and he doesn't have to be, but I do think there is an opportunity for him to get a little better here, too. I wouldn't bank on that. My expectations would be what he did do, but I do think there is some upside.
There is upside. Did he have any injuries?
No,
okay. Darn it.
The Twins are an interesting team.
Can they win something?
I don't know if they can take down Cleveland. They have to get, like, Darvish has to sign there, and everything has to go right. I mean, Barrios needs to really take that step. Yeah. A lot of people are banking on
that. Do they have
it.
Any all-stars? Who would be?
Well, Sano's going to be a big – Sano's probably going to be –
probably not going to be an all-star game.
No, he might not be around till the all-star break.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so
if that –
that's an interesting thing. You know, you got guys like Buxton who on the field, the guy can run like a deer, like an Olympic athlete on the bases.
Who's their closer?
Fernando Rodney.
Oh, and, he may not.
For now. Addison Reed.
I think we're going to talk about him later.
Everybody is, you know, on the speculation. I mean, I see Reed go ahead of Rodney. Rodney in that second half did put up some nice numbers, though. Okay. I do want to say that. And he somehow seems to get 30 or so saves a year.
If you're normally used to coming here, FNTSY YouTube channel at this time, you normally see the fantasy best friends forever. Yo! That's not us. It's not us. They'll be coming up a little bit later on. I believe at 1 p.m.
Corey, how was that?
One. Yo! Shout out to the BFF. They'll be coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Matt Olson is the Oakland A's player. I think he got some infield and some outfield eligibility, Jake. And what I'm hearing is this guy can hit 40. Some people say 50 home runs. And I'm like, how is he going to hit 50 home runs and he play in Oakland? That's the biggest ballpark in baseball.
It's not the biggest. It's the biggest ballpark for foul territory. So people don't realize. It's not really a pitcher's or a hitter's park. It's usually somewhere in between. It's the foul territory that really kills hitters, because you get those pop flies that normally would have went out, and then they end up turning into pop fly outs out of the infield. So that's the bigger concern. That's why it does help pitching in general. But for Ellison, we already talked about a few weeks ago, and we'll say the same thing I did at that time. I think you remember. He's Mark Trumbo. And you can get 35, maybe 40 home runs. You're going to get a mediocre average, and you're going to get the runs and RBIs that come with that kind of home run production. But that's what you get. Just think of Mark Trumbo. Very valuable, but that's Mark Trumbo. And there's a potential, though, for a lower floor. I mean, let's be realistic about his ability and his aggressiveness, and the fact that you could get 30 home runs with a 220 average, and then you're not even looking at Trumbo.
Yeah, no, Jake's right. It's a very real possibility that this batting average could bust. But if you're going back, we spoke to this in the past, but for those just joining now, last August, if you departed from fantasy baseball and just went all on fantasy football, Rhys Hoskins was the player in August that just lit the world on fire. Matt Olson did that in September. And Matt Olson has the power to hit the 40 home runs. Where he's going right now is 113.
Because he had the 50 power.
And I guess, look, if you look at his home run to fly ball rate last year, it's insane. I mean, if he was to keep something like that, yeah, I don't see that happening. He's 113. I'll take Joey Gallo at 111. Get the first, third base eligibility. And if Joey Gallo can make any improvements, that power is pure 50 home run power if given the at-bats in Texas. I mean, I think Joey Gallo, I'm trying to think of the at-bats off the top of my head, probably like 400 and something. So I think he can.
All right, Matt, the next guy up is Scooter Jeanette, the Reds infielder. What is his current, where is he going off as far as second baseman go, Jeanette?
Scooter.
What do you think about Scooter, Matt?
I think he had a hell of a season last year. I can't buy the fact that he's going to repeat that. Yeah. I think, you know, you're buying last year's. You know,
yeah.
You're buying last year's baseball card.
Yeah.
I don't think it happens this year. Scooter Jeanette.
So if you don't think it happens this year, is his ADP going to jump too high where it's like, you know what, you're paying last year's price for Scooter, and that's not.
He's currently 199.
That's all right, right?
I mean, it's all right. It depends. Guys going around him. After him is Jose Peraza, then a couple of rounds later is like Chris Owings, Cesar Hernandez. So I mean,
Jeanette's an empty player at this point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what?
Because explain that 15 to 20 home runs. I mean, you basically get that at every position nowadays. You need that at every position. So if you're going to give me 15 to 20, you better do something else. And he doesn't do anything else. He's not stealing bases. He's not giving you a good average. He's not giving you that high in runs. He's not giving you that high in RBIs. He's an empty player. I don't know if you would have any reason I would want. Like, maybe as a reserve pick just because of his flexibility, but no thanks.
Two words, career year.
Mm, that's what it was right there.
That's what I got to think it was.
That's it. Does he have any injuries that we can break down? No.
On top of my head.
I'm trying to get
Jeff back on.
Trying to get you back up here.
El Skeletor?
Yeah, El Skeletor. Trying to get El Skeletor back up here. All in kid Jake Seeley, why is Matt Carpenter being overlooked?
Because he should be. Another empty player. What does Matt Carpenter offer? He hasn't offered anything in years. I don't understand why people were still even drafting him as high as they were last year.
What about, he can play like every position, right? Don't he play a lot?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
He doesn't do that.
He used to have that eligibility.
No. Yeah, I mean,
maybe
that's
like
long
Yahoo
long.
He probably can catch.
Even if he did, even if you gave me all four middle infield, or actually just all four positions, just first through third base, give him all four. I don't care.
Still, it makes no difference.
I, I'm still at his price where he's going. You're not paying what you have. Look, people were excited about him last year because he hits all these fly balls. He has a hard hit contact rate. So looking at that batted ball profile, I get it. I was one of those guys. He was injured with a shoulder last year. He's not going to be one of these guys that's going to light the world on fire with batting average anymore. It's not going to be this 300 hitter. Probably more like a 270 type kind of guy. I do think he does have 30-plus home run power in his bat. We'll see if he can stay healthy. But the problem is, how's this going to play out? Is he the first baseman every day? Is he going to play some third base? We heard Moustakas isn't coming. And you have another guy. Who's the guy that's coming in there who's going to take at bats away from him? Jose, what the hell's his name? Martinez? Is that the guy I'm thinking
of? I don't know.
You're asking the wrong guy.
No, I think it's Jose Martinez. So he's got some competition there as well. But, I mean, say around pick 200, I think you could do worse.
And that's a bench player, or that's like a middle?
No, he's like a corner guy and stuff. He's not that first. I think he's going to be better than he was last year. Last year he was, what, like 240 or something?
Okay.
And I think he has 30-plus home run potential. I mean, based on his batted ball profile and all that kind of stuff. If healthy, last year the shoulder never was. So, I mean, I have to say, you want to talk about an injury. He had an injured shoulder.
Oh, yeah. But he... First base.
But that's the thing. He's only first base eligible now. Yeah. He used to be like first base, third base.
Is the shoulder reason why his eligibility, that's why he can't play all over the field no more?
No, I think it was more they made the concerted effort to make him a first baseman last year. He was the guy they were going to roll with at first.
Jake, when you put your teams together, what do you have a general strategy? Like, all you go like, okay, I got the first pick. This is how I'm going to put the team together. I got the 8th pick. This is how I'm going to put the team together. I got the 15th pick. This is how I'm going to put the team together.
No, I go hitting heavy and I attack the categories. I make sure I'm paying attention to my categories, because if you're not and you get to the 8th round and all you've done is get power bats with the 250 average, you just screwed yourself. You're not winning the league. So I go hitting heavy. I always have, and it doesn't matter where I'm picking. I'm not adverse to taking pitching early if the value's there. But I've always gone with the fact that if you can control hitting, it's the easiest to control. You can make better moves in pitching throughout the year. You control hitting, you're controlling categories much more easily. And with hitting, you can control 5 categories with the balance of players, where pitchers, you're always trying to balance the 4 out of 5 by going closers and starters. So that's why I do it. I understand there's different strategies, and there's no really wrong way to play it as long as you're winning. But that's the way that I do it.
Many ways to skin the fantasy cat, Matt Madika. Mm-hmm. Do you build your teams based off of where you're positioned in the draft?
Well, that's pretty much where I'm going to look for my KDS. Like with Jake, it's different what we do. I don't play in trade leagues.
Yeah.
So I have to pretty much set my team up where I'm going to get my pitching. Because I can't replace it. You know, I can't go out and trade for pitching and stuff like that.
I would do the same thing.
And I find it, you know, like last year, there was a lot of power that came. I'm not saying it's going to happen this year, but there's a lot of guys that came in with the power. I mean, throughout the season, Justin Smoke was one of those guys. Later on in the second half of the season, you got the Rhys Hoskins, you got the Matt Olson guys, and there's others. These are just guys coming top of my head.
All right. Off and rolling. FST Overtime right here on the Fantasy Sports Network. When we come back, we'll talk about some pitchers that you can buy or sell in 2018. 20 minutes from now, our Black History Month profile on Draymond Green. I understand you're like, why in the hell are we doing Draymond Green? Why not? FSTSY Overtime right here on the network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created 3 others. That's 4 people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FST Overtime. Glad you could join us. We get ready for fantasy baseball. Smell of the grass, the crack of the bat, you know the whole ordeal. Corey Parson, I'm a tout. I don't know if y'all know that. Shout out to Michael Rathburn. I know he's in Tout Wars this year.
Yeah, he's coming. He's coming to NYC. Head-to-head.
Yeah, he's coming up for the head to head joint. Shout out to Raph. Glad to have him in the fold. Dilly dilly.
I guess he's taking Vlad's spot. Vlad's doing AL only.
Right, Vlad's doing AL only. Maybe he's taking Nando's spot.
Very well.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Shout out to Nando DeFino.
Shout out to Nando DeFino. He went off the grid in fantasy baseball.
Shout out to him. He's the only reason I can come up to Tat Wars.
Yeah, there you go right there. Got this rooming situation going on. Airbnb at Nando's.
DeFino's.
Yeah. DeFino's.
Is breakfast included?
That is good. Breakfast included. Staten Island Yankee Stadium joint is where they having it.
They're having both of them days there?
I think it's just one day this year. I think it's only Saturday.
Yeah, it's all on Saturday.
It's all on Saturday at ballpark.
Oh. Are you going time. For it?
Yeah, I'll be out there. Even though I'm doing the draft, there's no reason for me to be there, but I'm making appearance to be with my brothers. our fraternity.
I'll be drafting of Tout. You'll be the main event. Andy Saxton, yeah. Saturday,
the 17th.
1 p.m.
So I'll be working, and it's a busy weekend for me that weekend. So
will you be auctioning at
Tout
Wars?
I'm auctioning at NFBC. I'm auctioning Friday at NFBC. I'm auctioning Sunday at NFBC. And then Saturday, I just be at Tout Wars chilling. I hope they have beverages and free food and stuff like that. But I'll be at the party on Friday night in the city, everything. We'll have a good time. It'll be a blast. So,
what if they charge you at the door?
They can't charge me, man. I'm in the brotherhood. What up, Jake?
So I just saw this on my timeline. Uh-oh. Because of No. It's such a random cool nugget, I think.
Oh, good.
Because it was somebody from the Wavy Fox News that I was doing that special during the fantasy football season. So apparently Norfolk here, 757, was sixth overall for Super Bowl television ratings.
Wow. Interesting.
Sixth in front of New Orleans and Providence, Milwaukee. So the top six were Buffalo, Philadelphia, Boston, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and then Norfolk.
Look at the 757 representing on Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah. Anybody from 757 on those teams? I'm sure it is, because 757 got a whole bunch of athletes come out.
There's a couple of them. There's actually one that was an undrafted agent that had Old Dominion. I can't think of his name right now.
Shout out to the 757. Shout out to Allen Iverson, Michael Vick, the Upton brothers, David Wright, so on and so forth. Right quick, a little quick. I want to do a little football right quick. NFFC trendsetters, we're in round three. I want to break down the situation that we had. Started the draft off Julio Jones, and it's a 14-team league. So started the draft Odell Beckham in the first, Julio Jones in the second. Julio Jones in the second of a 14-team league. I'll buy that every time, especially as a wide receiver too. And the third round came back around. Me and our guy, Andy Saxton, getting to a little text. He was like, all right, here we go, third round. You want to take a quarterback? You want to go Carlos Hyde? You want to go Joe Mixon, or you want to have the opportunity to draft the second rookie. Right? 14-team draft champions. Saxon said it's going to be a quarterback run.
I would have went quarterback. I told you that this morning before we talked. It's 14 teams, and it's draft champions. That's why it's a different – it's basically draft and hold, so it's a different animal in that spot, because once that quarterback run goes –
full disclosure, after we made our selection, the quarterback run started. I thought interesting.
Wait, hold on a second, Corey. So you say the second rookie. So what, basically you draft a rookie spot?
I draft a rookie spot, yes.
And that's what May, though, right?
After
the draft and
After the draft, so everybody who drafted a rookie spot, it starts and just goes in order.
Yeah, it starts and just goes in order. I had the second
that's
rookie.
That's an interesting strategy.
I had the second rookie spot because, Jake, I selected the rookie spot. I wanted the rookie spot. Because obviously Saquon Barkley be the first rookie to go off the board.
I said you could get Geis.
I can get Geis. I can get Michelle. Whatever the I want the best rookie running back situation with that pick in the third round. I went there. Before we picked Jake, it was Aaron Rodgers and then Carson Wentz, which I think was interesting and a mistake. Then
Wentz went second. Yeah.
Wentz was the second quarterback to go off the board. Then we took the rookie running back spot.
I would have went to Sean Watson just for full
story. And then afterwards, the next pick was Brady. It was Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, then Deshaun Watson. So the quarterback run has began, like Andy said and like Matt said. But I'll figure it out at the quarterback position. I feel like
you're
in this
Jimmy
draft.
Jimmy G gets back to you.
Jimmy G is not going to get back to me. Jimmy G will be going the next couple of picks. It may be Jameis again.
Speaking of that, you see that the 49ers are the seventh best favorites for the Super Bowl next year?
That's crazy.
Stop.
I did see that. Jimmy G is going to be crazy.
The only way I want to see the Patriots in the Super Bowl next year is if Jimmy G's in there.
Oh, can you imagine Garoppolo versus
Brady?
That
would just be great. That would just be awesome.
We already have the coaches, too, because we have the Patriots go to Detroit next year, and we have the Colts go to New England next year. So to see all those things come back together would be interesting.
It's going to be another interesting end of 2018 with the NFL. So, Jake, what do you think about that pick? Matt said I should have hopped in on the quarterbacks. What do you think?
I could see it going either way. Look, they're right. That's where the run is. But I still think it's deep enough that when you come back. Now, I would, because the run started, unless you're jumping into a brand new tier of garbage. And, like, I mean, I'm thinking, like, the Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not going that far. But, I wouldn't jump in Ben Roethlisberger if you're starting the next tier, although Ben Roethlisberger is a QB1 for me next season. Because, actually, hey, there you go, Corey. I just released my PPR way too early rankings on the site today, post-Super Bowl. So there you go. But I can see jumping in when it comes back around to you, and I think you should be okay. Unless, like I said, I don't want to be the first person to start the next tier at that spot. But you got to do it soon. Matt's right. It's a 14-teamer, a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, and the fact that, like I said, the draft and hold. But I'm shocked you didn't go with Deshaun Watson. You couldn't do Deshaun Watson. You would have got it. Called him out. It should be 1-1. Said he was going to be good, and he look what happened. Look what he did when he played.
I would have went Russell, but either way.
I was thinking, you know, and both guys are on my mind, but I wanted that opportunity. This is a team that had no
running
back.
Yeah, I would have been fine with Russell Wilson.
I wasn't going to be Carlos Hyde or Joe Mixon because I don't know what Hyde is going to be. I don't know where he's going to be at. If he's in San Fran, remember, those receptions fell dramatically when Gucci took over. And then with Joe Mixon, I don't know.
I see him staying in San Fran.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, they didn't want him, and it seems like he's like, I'm getting the hell out of here. And
got Jeffrey the El Skeletono right here. All right, Matt Modica, let's get back to baseball. Mike Clevinger, and my notes say, why not?
I'm trying to look up my notes over at CTM Baseball. He is on the list. I mean, the strikeout percentage is really, really tantalizing. The walk percentage is what kind of scares you away. The fact that he has an option, he may. There is a this shouldn't be the case. Josh Tomlin shouldn't be blocking anybody, but there is a possibility he could start in the minors because he does have an option left, or he could be a long man to start the season. But I think there's just too much to like here. And where he's priced, price points decide profitability. And this is where this guy is priced. I mean, the last seven game starts, if you want to just highlight a small sample there, the thing that really impresses at the end, his run at the end, almost a 70% first pitch strike, a 69%. The swing and strike percentage, over 11.5. XFIP, 360. These are things. And it wasn't like the batting average in Boston plays was depressed. It was like 270-ish. The one thing was the luck you want to look at. The left on base percentage was 84%. So that's obviously going to pull back. But when you're looking over these 44 innings or so, a 29.4K percentage versus the 10.6 walk percentage. The walk percentage does need to be corrected, but when you know that that first pitch strike percentage just stands out to me so much. He's a guy that, you know, he has triple threat swing and miss, so you got to like him.
All right, Mike Clevinger, you're all in, kid. Why not?
Definitely not as high on him as Matt is. I understand some of the optimism, but he mentioned one of the biggest reasons is that walk ratio. I can't swallow that at this point, over 5 walks per 9. You talk about the strikeout percentage. It's appealing, but that's the first time he's been over 10 per 9. And it's also, percentage-wise, it was also a career high in percentage. And the fact that he topped out, I think, it was 25 or 27 in the minor leagues, and then in the majors, never really hit that again. Normally, you don't see somebody jump even further. And then the last thing that I always do is, like, I know what Matt's saying, but, like I was looking for this during the break so I could say, this is what I think of September when it comes to stats, because it's September, and you get the call-ups, and I'm not going to put too much value in that. I appreciate the first strike 100%, but the overall stats, I just don't. It's the walk percentage that I can't get. I can't get too invested. But all that being said, where he's going right now, Matt's correct. You might as well take a flyer.
Yeah, I'm just going to look at pitches, starting pitches with a minimum of 100 innings pitched. ERA, he was 6th. Left on base percentage was 80%, so that's going to pull back. But swinging strike percentage, 12.5%, he ranked 14th. Strikeout percentage, he was 17th in that. First pitch strike, and that's something that is giving me hope that the walks can improve. That was 64.5. He was 21st there. I mean, there are things, like I said, the walks. But with young pitchers, the one thing they can improve on is the control. So, like we said, the price point is profitable. So he's not a foundation arm. That's the thing here. He's an arm that, if he hits, can, you know, really help you get that, earn that extra money that you need to do in when you're setting up your team.
All right, Jake. Trevor Bauer, is the potential enough?
The potential, like, I've wanted Trevor Bauer to happen for years. Tristan Cockcroft and I used to joke about him because you're huge 24 fans, and just the fact that the Bauer, we want Bauer on our team. And, you know, finally started to show something last year. I still doubt that he's ever going to be that potential that we were hoping for years ago, but enough confidence from last year that, you know what, if he's the back of my guy, you know, I'd say late teen rounds, somewhere around there, I'll jump in because there's still a little bit of potential to improve a slight bit, but he's never going to reach that ceiling that he thought he was when he first came out.
Yeah, and over at TTA Baseball, I give the positives and the negatives with Bauer. I mean, post also break, the thing that really helps him is the slide piece. He's narrowing down that pitch selection. He stopped rapping, so that's a good thing, too.
He's a rap. Oh, I heard that's right. They did play his rap one on talking.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Terrible.
Trevor Bauer, stick to pitching. CTM Baseball, go check it out. Matt Madiga got some stuff up there right now. When we come back on the other side, I do have one more pitcher I want to ask about, and then we'll get our profile in Black History on Draymond Green. It's FNTS. Oh.
There's been no shortage of many legendary father-son teams in NASCAR. The Earnhardts, the Jarretts, the Petties, and now the Angles. The Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour continues the long-standing tradition of family and NASCAR racing. It features Hall of Famer Scott Angle and his son, five-time DraftKings tournament winner Sean Angle. They help you set the ideal DraftKings lineups with in-depth analysis and driver breakdowns. The Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour, Saturdays at 6 a.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Before we get to our Draymond Green profile, Jake, what do you think about Drew Pomeranz this year? How will the AL East affect his value, or should the AL East affect his value?
I mean, usually you have to worry about that for most guys moving to the AL East, but Trevor Bauer I think he's Bauer. Put it that way.
Okay, he's the same guy.
It's like you get some decent strikeouts. You have to worry about his walk and his whip, and maybe you get that 4 ERA and. He's had a nice ERA the past 2 years, but I think that's honestly – but I think he's been pitching over his head ERA-wise the last 2 years. I don't believe the ERA, and the numbers don't support it, too. I think his FIP, his ex-FIP, have always been around 4.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jake makes some good points here. It's one of those guys – look, he did do it last year in Boston. Can he do it again? That's kind of a good thing. I think he's – for where it's one of those guys, you got to make that decision for where he's priced. I don't think he's going at a ridiculous price. I haven't – currently own 0 shares of Mr. Pomeranz. Well, I end up with 1 or 2 probably, but I'm not going out of my way to get him.
Oh, yeah, you go right there. He's a jag, just a guy, Mr. Drew Pomeranz. All right, it's time for our profile on Black History. This is Black History Month. Today, we'll look at Draymond Jamal Green. Thank God he plays basketball, or else employment would be tough for him when it comes to filling out applications. All right, Draymond Green is a power forward for the Golden State Warriors, the world champion Golden State Warriors. He was born in 1990. I understand we normally get players, people a little bit more lineage, but Draymond Green is a 2-time NBA champion, he's a 3-time NBA All-Star. He's the current NBA Defensive Player of the Year. He's a 3-time NBA Defensive All-First Team. I don't know if he graduated or not. He should have. He's been there for 4 years. Then he might not have. I don't know. His education level is, but I know coach. You know what? Let me not say that. Let's just say Michigan. You know what? Let's skip the Michigan State part. Let's keep going. Anyway, he plays for the Golden State Warriors. He had an excellent college basketball career. He was drafted in the second round with the 35th pick by the Golden State Warriors, the team that he is presently playing for. His hometown is Saginaw, Michigan. So, Draymond Green also is very big in charities.
He has won the Alvin Edels Award, which is the Golden State Warriors team award that they give to the player that does the most community outreach. Draymond Green also gives back to the underprivileged Jews in the Oakland and the Bay Area. So Draymond Green is our profile in Black History today. He is the son of Mary Barbers and Wallace Davis. His stepfather, Raymond Green, who he took on his last name, and he has two brothers, Torian Harris and Braylon Green, and he has three sisters, Latoya, Jordan, and Gabby. And there you go right there. Harris played basketball for, well, his youngest sister also plays basketball for Nebraska Omaha. Well, played for that team. I don't know if that's like a D-League WNBA team, whatever. So there goes Draymond Green, today's profile in Black History. Shout out to the Golden State Warriors, Dub Nation. Tonight they take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. The spread is 10. Golden State is a 10-point favorite, and that's the Fantasy Executive's Lock of the Day, brought to you by Daily Roto. The Golden State Warriors.
You forgot something, Corey.
We'll cover that number. What did I forget about Draymond Green, Jake?
He holds the NBA record for all-time kicks to the nuts.
Yes, Draymond Green has accidentally kicked players in the nuts.
Accidentally.
Accidentally kicked players in the nuts in the past.
Accidentally.
He's got a knee-jerk reaction.
By an accident. Draymond Green's suspension in Game 5 of the 2016 NBA Finals, Matt Modica, was likely the reason why the Golden State Warriors did not win back-to-back-to-back championships.
They still had opportunities to win that. You can make the argument, but they still had Game 7 on their home court, I remember. Right?
Yes, Game 7 was in Oracle Arena.
I still remember
LeBron. James didn't. LeBron doesn't lose Kevin Love. You can argue the other way around for the previous year.
Previous year? You can say that. All right. Well, Golden State won the rubber match last year with both teams at full strength. And this year, they haven't lost since, and the Cleveland Cavaliers stink now. So there you go right there. That's Draymond Green.
Zach LaVine dunked the dude out of the league last night?
That was crazy.
I saw that somebody tweeted that because the dude got sent down to the G League.
So there you go right there. FST Overtime. Roto Experts coming up shortly. Is that going to be on YouTube? Somebody on the 4-4 can let me know that.
That's supposed to be.
Okay, so y'all keep it locked right here. I'm going to go to the powder room, and then when we come back, we'll be doing some Roto Experts. We'll bring Mr. Sussman back up here. FSTSY Overtime Roto Camp continues tomorrow right here on the Fantasy Sports Network.